today on Real Radio.
The social media world is destroying individuality and personalities. God wants to set you free from this. The power of the Holy Spirit wants to come inside of you, and he wants to make you resilient against the whimsical, temporary, fleeting ignorance of men.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Remnant Will Return, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah must have felt great joy for all the prophecies God gave him regarding the restoration of his beloved Jerusalem. The Lord's kindness and mercy towards his people and towards all of mankind is undeserved good news. But the restoration of Jerusalem has an even greater fulfillment that is yet to come when Jesus Christ returns to earth in the second coming. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 51, we learn that the term remnant means residue, or that which is left after a separation. Isaiah is using the word remnant when speaking of the Israelites who survived captivity and who will return to their own land as God promised. But it's also God's desire that we return to him whenever we are led astray. So today on day 2 of chapter 51, Pastor Jack tells us that the Lord knows those of us who hear the word of God and have it in our hearts and minds. He leads and guides us like a shepherd. We are indeed precious to him, and no one can snatch us out of his hands. And now continuing his lesson called The Remnant Will Return, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The moment you give your heart to Jesus Christ and become a follower of Jesus, your name goes into the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb of God, and he writes your name in there. That's so good, so wonderful. In John chapter 10, verse 27, you say, Jack, you gave this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to give it again. I love this verse. John chapter 10, verse 27. Listen to this. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I can say amen. We can go home tonight. Jesus says, I know them. My sheep hear, what does that mean? My sheep hear my voice. You hear the word of God in your heart and in your mind, day in, day out. God leads you and guides you like a shepherd. Isn't that great? He calls us sheep. I'm a pastor, but I have a deal with God. He's the shepherd of this church, and I'm the sheepdog. I thank God that God called us to minister to sheep, not to giraffes. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen those things? You can't feed a giraffe. I'm not smart enough to feed a giraffe. I can't get up there. God says, no, you guys, all you people, you're sheep. You're sheep. Sheep are awesome. They're cuddly. They're amazing. You know what? Somebody remind me. On Good Friday, I should bring a lamb to service. We did that years ago. Remember that? And I took a knife and I took it across the throat. Do you remember that? I did. Some people were freaking out in the front row. I didn't cut it. I turned the blade around at the last instant. We'll do it again this Friday. Freak people out though. It doesn't matter. They're so precious. They're so sweet. They're amazing. But did you know something? There's a man that was in prison in the Russian gulag. What's the Russian prison? Yeah, it goes by a different name though. Anyway, the guy was one of the evolutionary biologists for the Soviet Empire, for the Supreme Soviet in Moscow, and he was studying zoology. And this is a real story. And the guy expressed his concern before his peers in a lecture that he had a hard time embracing a certain portion of evolution because sheep are said to be on earth before humans evolved. And he said, it's not possible. Evolution's got sheep on earth before humans came onto the scene. He says, I'm struggling with this. But they said, why are you struggling with it? He said, because sheep cannot live without a human. By day. They have to have human care. Guess what they did them? They put him for 17 years in the Russian gulag in Siberia. For that question, he was banished. We're sheep. He takes care of us. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Look, and I give them eternal life. He gives. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. He gives it. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Yes. And if that wasn't enough, imagine Jesus, and nobody will be able to snatch them out of my hand. It's Jesus like this. And then what's the next line? My Father who gives them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. See that? You're not getting out. You're not going to get out. First of all, why would you want to get out? But even if you try to get out, you couldn't get out. No one, that includes me, is able. Thank God for that. Do you have that security? Do you know that tonight as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, he doesn't do something halfway. You say, yeah, but I fail so much as a Christian. I don't walk as close to him. Listen, just fine, but start walking with him closer. And if you don't, you're still going to go to heaven. You're just going to get there, Corinthians says. You'll be saved, yet so by fire. Did you know that says that? You'll be the guy. We'll all be there, and you'll be the guy, and there'll be smoke coming up from your bum. And just like, what is that? Dude, you barely made it, man. But you're here. You see Gabriel walk over. That's not how you want to get into heaven. Honestly, you want to get in obedient to Christ and blessing Christ. But no one, the Holy Spirit's not going to allow anyone in their hearts to say, you know what? I'll be that guy. I'll just barely make it in. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you trust Christ, you can't even think that way. You want to go flying across the finish line in record speed, you know? Because you want to do all that you do for his glory. You want to bless him. So it's pretty amazing and awesome God we have in this. Verse 7, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. What an amazing truth that is. God knows his people. They love righteousness. And in their heart, God has written their law. Now, what's amazing about this, we're talking about the remnant. We're looking to the future. And last week we talked about the means by which a Jew is saved. You remember that? Do you remember us going to the New Testament to prove how a Jew is saved? By the way, Jews need to read the New Testament. They don't have to read far because we went to whom? We went to a Jew talking to another Jew. Do you remember? We went to Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, to Nicodemus, the Jewish priest. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. Remember that? Well, I can't help but think that Jesus didn't have on his mind, and maybe Nick got it, Jeremiah 31, verse 31, chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. That's awesome. That means a New Testament. With the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with them in the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their, what? Hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice what makes the Jew his people. Belief. My people. Right now, there are many Jews in the land of Israel that are not believing in God, but they will. And many of them are coming to faith in Christ. But God says, I will write my law in your heart. That's the born-again experience. David knew what that was like. Abraham knew what that was like. You study both those two lives, those biographical studies of David and Abraham, and you're looking at people who had born-again relationships with God. I'm not saying they were born again in the sense that you and I are tonight, because the Holy Spirit never indwelt them like he does you. That's different. That didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. But it's an amazing thing. Is the law of God written upon your heart? Verse 7, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. That's good advice. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man is a snare. Did you know that? Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. God says, don't worry about these people. People making fun of you as a believer, mocking you. God says, don't worry about them. Do you ever get mocked for your faith? Don't worry about it. Let's wear that as a badge of honor. Maybe you're at break and you're having your lunch or whatever, and they see your Bible on, you're reading your Bible or whatever, and whoa, look what we got here. Hey, take it. Take that with honor. Just listen to them. Let them yap. And when they're all done, just say something like, hey, you know what? I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for your family. And pray for them. Watch what happens. That's an honor. God says, don't worry about them. Right now, you and I are living in an age right now. It's going to cost us to be Christians. I wrote this to myself. Maybe I should say it. I wrote down, this has been my personal experience in my young Christian life and now my older life. And this is what I wanted to say to you guys tonight. I put this in a little colored box. Let what critics say about you, or whatever critics do say about you, it should only have a positive effect on you. Now, I know for some young people, I'm not saying this to be funny or cute. I'm dead serious. Young people have a hard time with what I'm about to say because they have been so brutally conditioned by social media that I don't know how far gone they are. But listen, my personal note to this church right here tonight is when people criticize you, let that have a positive effect upon you. I refuse to let the opinions of people bother me because I know I will have to answer to only one judge in the end. Listen, please consider adopting that. Please consider adopting that. God says, don't fear people. On Monday, they may curse you. On Tuesday, they might love you. On Wednesday, they might ignore you. Thursday, they might curse you again. You have no idea where they're going to be any given day. And there's people living for the approval of men, and you'll never be content. You'll never be bold. You'll never be confident. You'll be like a reed blown in the wind because you're afraid of what people say. And I'm terrified of this 21st century current Christian community of young people who are terrified. Instead of the power of the Holy Spirit, they've got the fear of peer pressure. Somebody will put a comment on their Facebook and they'll shrivel up and wither away. Their heart's on their skin. And they might say, I love Jesus and I'm going to go share Christ tonight with some friends. And somebody says something whatever. And Satan will use that thought and put it in their head and they'll be defeated. A total stranger will say something. This age in which we live in is so susceptible to the fear of man. The social media world is destroying individuality and personalities. God wants to set you free from this. The power of the Holy Spirit wants to come inside of you, and he wants to make you resilient against the whimsical, temporary, fleeting ignorance of men. They wax on, they talk, they've got all these things, and the beauty about it is when they're losing their argument, they launch personal attacks. That's a great victory. When somebody starts attacking me in an argument and they go personal, I just go, awesome. They know they lost, so they got to go personal. But if you're going to be intellectually honest with yourself, you've got to confront God. You got to square things with God. You've got to answer why there's trees, whales and squirrels, eyeballs and hearts beating and Mars and the sun. You've got to square this. Tragically, we're marching to the beat of the social drum and it's destroying people. May God fill our children with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, Paul was amazing in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. That's smart because we think about ourselves even in the wrong way. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Is that awesome? Don't be afraid of people. The next thing we see, look at verses 9 through 10. We see this, the cry of God's people. This is God's people crying. Listen to them now. They hear that. They see that. Yes, God is awesome. Look at their response. Awake, awake. They cry out to God. Wake up, God, is what they're saying. Put on strength. Well, he is strength. O arm of the Lord, awake. As in the ancient days, in the generations of old, are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? This is not Rahab. They're saying, are you awake, God, help us. Yes, you're right. Your creation, man is fleeting. We don't need to be afraid of man. Awake, God, answer our prayer. When he uses the word Rahab, don't think of Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot in the book of Joshua, she was named after an ancient pagan god. Rahab was synonymous with the land of Egypt. It was a demon god that the Egyptians worshipped. In fact, you guys, we have a couple of slides. The word Rahab in Hebrew is proud one. Listen, proud one, arrogant one. It's also translated in some of your modern versions as monster or sea monster. Some of your margins will have in the side Leviathan. This is ancient art regarding this portion of scripture. It's the great sea dragon, or the dragon that rises up out of the sea, book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. This is an image or a representation of the powers of the world personified in the land of Egypt, and it's made its way out. You see, Michael in this painting is Michael the archangel battling with the devil. Rahab here, the dragon. Next slide. This is some ancient art. This is amazing art because this is found on ancient reliefs or artwork from 2,000 years ago. This is the artistry is Rahab, the sea dragon, devouring souls. They're going into hell. This is the gateway in the artistry of hell through Satan or Rahab's mouth. And so the word here is, in fact, let me read to you in the King James Version, Job 26:12. Job 26:12 says, he divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. That's the word Rahab. Job 26:12 in the New Living Translation. By his power the sea grew calm. By his skill he crushed the great sea monster. Job 26:12 in the New American Standard Bible. NASB. He quieted the sea with his power, and by his understanding, he shattered Rahab. You see that? It's quite amazing. And again, I gave that reference. Revelation 13 is the reference to the great sea dragon that comes up out of the sea, depicting the nations of the world led by the Antichrist powers. Look at verse 10 now, Isaiah 51. Are you not the one who dried up the sea? This is fun. Are you not the one who dried up the sea? These are the people praying to God. God, didn't you dry up the sea? The waters of the great deep that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over. Anybody want to know what he's talking about? Or what they're, the Red Sea Exodus, the deep. Remember, did we talk about last week that they crossed over not on reeds, not on a sandbar, not on shallow water? The Bible says God brought them through the deep. Look at verses 11 to 12 regarding the remnant. By the power of God, the remnant will be delivered again. At the second coming now, we look back to the time of the second coming in David's throne. So the ransomed of the land of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. That's amazing. Zion today, it's been unearthed archaeologically. With singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Verse 12, I am he who comforts you. This is God speaking. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? Men die, don't be afraid of them. And of the Son of Man who will be like grass. That is all of man's offspring. Look at verses 13 to 16. And that you forget the Lord your Maker who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. When he has prepared to destroy, and where is the fury of the oppressor? God's saying, so where are these guys that threatened you in the long run? Like, where's Hitler today? The captive exiles hasten that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. Verse 15, but I am the Lord your God who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of armies, that's what that means. And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. Verses 17 to 23, we hear now the call, at the call of his voice. Verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. Oh man, I can see that happening with his voice. You who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury, you have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out. There is no one to guide her among all the sons she has brought forth. In other words, Israel in rebellion was led into judgment because they rebelled, and no one was there to help her. Nor is there any who takes her by the hand among her, all the sons she brought up. These two things have come to you. Watch. Number one, who will be sorry for you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. In other words, the world's not going to care for you. And number two, by whom will I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets like an antelope in a net. They are full of fury of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. Verse 21, therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. Thus says the Lord, the Lord, your God, who pleads the cause of his people. See, or behold, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. Verse 23, but I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you. You who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like to the ground and as the street for those who walk over. Amazing chapter. I want to end with this, you guys. Go ahead and put that last slide up on the screen. In verse 19 and 20, when he says, who's going to be sorry for you? Who's going to call out to you? Who's going to help you? And God is talking about restoring his nation in the last day. Now, church, you know, Israel has got a lot of trouble coming for 7 years, big trouble. But this is kind of fun. Whatever's going on in the world, we all need to sit up and take notice. We don't know. We don't understand. But it all started with President Trump declaring that the U.S. would move their embassy to Jerusalem in agreement with U.S. law in 1995. And then other nations began to follow. And now, just recently, Guatemala just decided that they're going to be moving their embassy now to Jerusalem following the lead of the U.S. What's happening around the world right now is nations were dormant in defending Israel, even speaking out. They were silent. And then all of a sudden, in this last several months, nations have been speaking up in defense of Israel. Prophetically, we don't know what that means exactly. It's quite amazing to see what's going on. We don't know how this is going to play out prophetically, but what's amazing is the world is starting to recognize how important and Jerusalem is and something special going on. We're living in amazing times. God is amazing. His word is true. He does everything that he says.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Remnant Will Return, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, it's so comforting to know that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. So why don't you come to him today? He's the answer to all your fears because your future will be in his hands. The Remnant Will Return, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.